Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Here's the headline, Brandon. Writers like me have shut down Hollywood. Here's why. Writers Guild of America is on strike because Hollywood bosses have treated our demands for fair and sustainable working conditions with contempt. This comes via Josh Gondelman in The Nation. Well, I can't wait to get into this, but give us the woke omega. I don't believe this is just a writer in Hollywood. So,
well, yeah, this is just a Hollywood writer who he's a comedian and writer, and he's writing an opinion piece. I mean, I know it doesn't really go into his politics at all. He's writing it as somebody within the industry, so it's kind of hard. I mean, he's definitely biased. Let's just put it that way.
All right, here's a little cut. The conditions that caused this strike, first by the WGA since 2007. Had been percolating for years, while overall production budgets for movies have risen sharply. Writer pay has declined by 4% over the past decade, 23% when you include inflation. The shift of film and television to streaming has meant lower residuals and shorter seasons. The proliferation of so-called mini rooms, where small writing staffs often work on a show before it's green-lighted, has many writers taking short-term jobs for less than their established rate. Nearly 50% of writers are working for the minimum salary compared to 33% 10 years ago. Here's my question, Brandon, as we get into this. Most people like Netflix. They like their Netflix. Mm-hmm. Do you think most people across our great country even know that writers are currently on strike?
I don't think so. I knew that this was going on, but only sort of cursorily.
Really?
Like, I knew that there was a writer strike because there's been, like, a lot of stuff, you know, out there about, oh, the writer strike and this show and that show.
Is that because I'm in California that I know more about this?
Yeah, probably. I would guess that. I mean, you know, as everybody, if it doesn't affect you directly, it's hard to. There's so much going on, dude. There's shootings in Texas. There's coronations. There's so I did know. But by the way, I did know there was a writer strike. But to say that I had done a ton of research before getting ready for this show would be a lie.
So is this kind of like bacon? Like, we all love bacon, but we don't want to know that it came from a pig in a slaughterhouse?
Like, yeah, like, who really cares?
We don't care now, but in 6 months,
yes,
if they're still
course.
On strike, Disney,
yes.
Netflix, Hulu, you won't have any shows.
No,
so you'll care.
I completely agree. I guess, okay. I'll just step back a little bit for myself, and I agree with you 100%. I feel like there's so much out there to watch already that I can barely keep up with it, that it doesn't really affect me. Again,
interesting.
I have a lot of empathy for these writers, so I'm not ambivalent about this at all. But what I'm saying, I think the average American's like, hey, there's a lot going on. We got a lot going on in the world. There's all these different streaming services. But at the root core of this, those are important issues, and it's not just writers that are be affected. It's a lot of things. So I would be curious before we get going. No, this isn't one of my old saws about changing the world.
I know it's not.
You don't
Can
know what's coming.
Can I say it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, the big corporations are making more money, and the low man or woman on the bottom rung is making less.
Well, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I wasn't going to say that, but that's
you
not.
You were going to say it.
No, I wasn't going to say it. I mean, the article, he talks about that the 8 studio bosses made like $1 billion last year.
Yep. Correct.
But I'll be honest with you, I don't care. I feel like they make a lot of money in Hollywood. Everybody seems to make a lot of money. Okay, so let's take even a step back from that. And this is a real question because you're kind of in the industry. You have SAG.
I'm in
you
the
have
union.
A SAG
yeah.
card, right? You're,
yeah,
you're,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
a SAG guy. So you would know a little bit more about this and understand the workings of it more than I would. But people in Hollywood have always made a lot of money, correct? I mean, for the most part?
Yeah, but what are you talking? Does The Grip make a lot of money? Does a
Well, I don't know. Well, that's my point is I don't know. Is it significantly different now than it was, say, before streaming?
Well, of course it is because, right? I mean, you have Netflix, Hulu, YouTube.
No. I mean the pay for these people.
I think the key argument is over streaming. By the way, the other key argument is over AI, which we'll get to in a second.
Right.
But it's streaming. And that's my question to the writers. Like, I don't know how they're going to quantify money. Like, if you write on a YouTube show versus you write on Disney Plus versus you write for an ABC sitcom. I just don't know how they're going to figure this out.
The tricky part for me is around the whole idea of unions. Like, they don't work for the same places. So how are you going to kind of make it universal? Now, it's interesting, though. I love that you like to bust my balls about the
Here
whole corporation
Here
thing.
Go.
I'm not going to – I'm torn on this article. I really am, because I grew up in a time where I really believed in the idea that you wanted to allow people to create wealth. I mean, trickle-down economics, dude. I came of age – I fundamentally believed that. And in some ways, I still do. I do believe that if people are allowed to create things, better things happen. But the problem is I happened to be watching this PBS thing on the Roosevelts. Did you ever watch that series?
I've watched some of them, yeah.
Okay, so it's just about the Great Depression, and it was about – how many millions of people were out of work and literally, not figuratively, but literally starving, didn't have enough food to eat, and all the things that the Roosevelts were trying to do. And, you know, the whole New Deal thing gets, you know, the right always takes stabs and there's big government and a lot of those things I agree with. But I was thinking to myself, what do you do when you've got a population that can't afford to eat? Now, I'm not saying the writers are in that boat at all, but we do have this mass disparity in this country now that's getting bigger and bigger, and it's a little disturbing.
I mean, well, if you want to take it that way, we can, but you're right. We know this, and it is your old saw. You're bringing it up. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. That's it. Now, if you want to talk about
Hollywood, is that why this is okay?
Absolutely.
So that's why this is happening then.
But also because technology has come in to the fray, right? In the old days, there were movies and there were network TV shows, and then there was cable. Now there's streaming, and it's getting really convoluted.
But this is where I struggle with this, because they're still producing shows that people watch. So whether they produced it for television or they made movies for the theaters, yes, of course the economics, but people are still spending movies. They still want to be spending money. They still want to be entertained. You know, all these things are happening.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's called tech companies are into the fray, right? Netflix.
Right.
So if you were a writer on a TV, Charlie's Angels back in the 80s, right?
Wait. Let me pause you for a second.
No.
Before you
no.
get into the tech thing.
No.
No, because I
no,
want to.
I'm not. It is.
Okay.
I'm circling. So don't. Here it is.
All right.
If you were a writer in the 80s and you wrote for Charlie's Angels, you didn't know if that show was going to take off or not.
Right.
Let's say it did, right? In the old days, if it became a hit and became syndicated, you get a certain more money.
Okay.
Then if they rerun that show, you were a writer, you made more money.
Okay.
Netflix is a tech company.
Okay.
They are tech. They don't have to release their ratings. They don't have to tell you, they don't have to tell anybody how many times a show was watched. They kind of give loose numbers. So writers in the old days very clearly knew how many times their show was played. A writer writes a show now on Netflix, and Netflix doesn't release the numbers, so they have no idea who's watching their show. So they're saying we have to be able to have a better way to get paid for what we do depending on how people watched it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I agree. I wasn't trying to get the conversation off the rails. I'm actually trying to understand, because I'm looking at this and I'm saying before the 50s, there was no television. So there were screenwriters who were writing films, right? Before that, there weren't even writers because they were silent, right? So you had a person that would do the movie, but there wasn't a lot of, there was no dialogue. So you didn't have that. So I'm saying is this thing has evolved over the last 100 years. Now, you got Netflix, you got Amazon Prime, you got all these people there.
Hulu,
whatever.
Disney Plus.
But why are they, let's go back to television, on-air broadcast television. They had all these rules. Why were those rules in place then, and they're not in place now?
You just missed my whole talk.
I did hear your whole talk. I did hear it.
In the old days, there was a clear metric on how people
got
paid.
I understand, Larry. I get
that. There is no clear metric
on
how people get paid.
But why isn't there? That's my point.
Because Netflix is a tech company. It does not have to release numbers.
Why do the on-air broadcasters have to release numbers? That's my question. I don't give a shit about Netflix.
Why do you think networks release the numbers?
I have no advertising dollars.
Exactly, because they needed to show the advertisers.
But what about Hulu that's doing advertising and YouTube TV that's doing advertising?
They're on a different model, right? Netflix does not necessarily care about ad dollars as much as the networks, so they don't release the numbers.
Okay, so before you yell at me again and try to kick me in the nuts, I'm actually trying to help the average person who doesn't understand like you do, so bear with me here. So if you've got these streaming services that have ads, because I know that like our Disney now has ads, we can choose to not have ads, which I love, or we could choose to have, you know, our Hulu has ads. So if you're just talking about those places that have no ad, is that separate? Do the companies like Hulu and Disney that show ads, do they have to release their numbers for advertisers?
By the way, that's a really new phenomenon, right? Netflix, within the last year, started an ad-supported model. So up until this year, they didn't do that.
Okay.
Same with Disney+.
Okay, but so wouldn't it stand to reason, though, that they're going to have to release those numbers to their advertisers?
No.
Why?
Because, once again, this is a very convoluted discussion.
Obviously.
There's lots of things going on here. And it that's why they're having a problem negotiating between the studios and the networks and the other, between writers, because there is no clear metric now of how people should get paid.
Yeah. So you're saying that the writers are striking because they want to create that metric so they can get paid.
Yes.
Is that ultimately what their goal is?
Essentially, right? Essentially. And like how many writers should be on a project. And it's just really complex. I don't know how they're going to figure this out. The one thing I will say to get off this a little bit, it is kind of cool that these writers have all banded together and said, nobody's going to work. Right. I mean, there could have been like movie writers or that all of them together are banding together and saying,
well, they have to be reading the writing on the wall, obviously, right?
Yes. The one part of this that I really do understand that's very clear is that they've said, we're going to work on artificial intelligence. And that's something you could speak on. These writers saying, hey, the studios, if they could, would pay nothing to a robot to write a screenplay.
Sure.
That's coming, right? That's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're sticking up for that idea. And I'm like, okay, well, that one's black and white.
Well, and that's what I'm getting to when I talk about a disparity. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, someone makes a ton of money and the other people, at least they have food and a roof over their head. And they're in whatever, they're surviving. But if you get to the point where there are people are not surviving, who are so poor that we're in destitute because of this pie being limited, I guess that's the point where I'm struggling to figure that out.
I don't think the bottom end of the writer's scale is a gazillionaire. I don't even think they make $100,000. I think there's a scale
where
still
pretty good money. So let's say they make a scale of, they make $50,000. That's more than the average teacher.
Sure.
Okay. No, I'm not saying they shouldn't be paid
more money. I don't know what the bottom writer scale is. I don't know that.
Okay. If AI came in and just wrote these scripts and, you know, could do the job, yeah, of course those people are going to... That's my point about this all. As long as a system is in place that rewards people monetarily for getting rid of other people, they're going to do it. That's
of
just the bottom line. Right.
Well, that's
so
what they're
what's
sort
the
of
solution
about
to that?
Well, they're fighting for that right now.
Yeah, and I think it's a much, much bigger topic than just simply the writers. I mean, it's like, what do we do in general about how do we... I guess where I am, and I know you'll kick me in the nuts again on this one, but
here
I guess where I, no, I'm not going to give an old saw, but I guess in some ways we're going to have to make some serious adjustments in terms of what our expectations are of our society. I mean,
yes.
I feel like that's just where we are. I mean, like, you know, not just like, oh, we need to have a writer strike, but I mean, I wonder if there isn't a need to cap the ability for to make a certain amount of money. I wonder as a society if that's just not what has to happen. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a sort of almost a slave culture of people that have to work for nothing. I am truly befuddled and confused by this whole thing. I do support the writers, but I don't know where it
goes. It doesn't make sense to anybody, right? Do you think climate change, when the oceans take over and the tornadoes come and the rich have to retreat to their private institutions to just survive the great get in the morning... You don't think that's coming too, right? That's the problem. I think John Kerry was the one that said there's two Americas. There is two Americas.
Absolutely.
And this is a complete proponent of that.
Well, and the problem with this, the two, it'd be different if it was 50% on one side and 50%
yes.
on another.
No.
But it's really not. It's like
no.
it's like 95%. By the
exactly.
way, historically speaking, that's always been the case.
Yes.
95% of the population has been on the lower side, and 5% have been the kings and the monarchs and things.
Of course.
So I don't know what the answer is to that. I'm not sure our system will survive. Let's just put it that way.
I would totally agree with that. And it'll be interesting to see how long these riders, which could last for a year, and then the guy in Toledo, Ohio is going to be like, why don't I have any new shows on Netflix? It's because of this. This is it.
I think that the strikes that are going to happen are going to be things that actually shut down like our infrastructure. I'm not sure the writer strike is going to do it. It might be a precursor. But I think it's going to be things that really make people hurt. Like really, like the truck drivers say, we're not driving anymore. You know, they'll automate and do automated trucks. But at some point, people are just going to say, no, we can't do it anymore. It's over.
Just for perspective, in France, they're arguing over raising the retirement rate from 60 to 64.
Right.
And that shut down that country.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And well, no, it wasn't 60 to 64. Well, that's right. That's right. Because they were already be able to retire at 60, which to me is like, wow, that'd be nice. But
good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, how do we get that one? Anyway, Larry, thank you for teaching me about this. I feel more confused now than when I walked in. But thank you, Larry.